welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. And we encourage you to tune in every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream this program live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we are archived at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. So we encourage you to check out our website and also check out the website of our guests. We'll be giving you the website of our guest here in just a few moments. We link to them so that you can then go check out the information that they have to offer here on the program. I think you're going to enjoy today's program. I think that I think it's going to be very helpful. I think it's going to be enlightening. And I think you're also going to, I like the title of his latest work. My guest is Ken Elliott, the author of Manifesting 1-2-3. And You Don't Need Number 3, How Thoughts Work, How Thought Works, and the Simple Tools to Create the Desires of Your Lifetime. And Ken, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me on the air. I certainly appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And I'm intrigued by this and others who talk about this aspect of using, and when we use the word manifesting, because I know that there's a lot of, I'm going to say, misunderstanding about what that means. The only reason I put it in that context is because a lot of people who are trying, and I say trying, to manifest things, for whatever reason, and you may be able to answer the question why, is that the things that they want to manifest aren't manifesting. So can you help us to maybe elucidate on, we'll start with the reasons why, from your perspective, people aren't getting their heart's desire or what have you, and then we will dive into how we can make this process work.
Okay. Well, I'll put a foundation under that question first. This is going to be something different today. The manifesting and law of attraction is, you know, it's a bit of an industry. There are lots and lots, there's lots of material out on this topic. And I'm all for people thinking positively and making lists and vision boards and all of those things that people talk about, or just making wishes. I encourage for people to ask through prayer or by manifesting or these different techniques to try to bring a change in their life. And many people do, and many people don't. Now, here's where I'm going to diverge from the common wisdom. Your show is, on your mission statement, you mention the truth a lot. And here is a truth. And that's quite a thing to throw out there, but I'm going to give you a whopper. It's been my experience for almost 20 years in working with Judy Goodman and other people who are highly gifted beyond people that are out there writing literature right now. Judy is so sensitive that I can send her an object in thought. It can be a flower. It can be a this thing, that thing. I consider complicated or simple objects in thought. Pick up the phone, and 2,100 miles away, 2,000 miles away, she can tell me what that object is that I sent her. It begins to take form in the, we'll call it the spirit world, this other dimension that is all around us. Your thoughts, as soon as you think of a thing, it begins to take a form. And it starts out looking like a little bit of vapor or a little puff of smoke. This is revolutionary stuff. You know, it kind of makes perfect sense that your thoughts would actually do something, but it's pretty woo-woo, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I would send her all kinds of objects, and I would test them in extreme ways. And she wasn't the only one I would do this with. William Buhlmann, who is also probably the best-known author on out-of-body living, who's teaching at the Monroe Institute, he and I are good friends. And as an offhand comment one time, he told me that when he goes out-of-body to the other side, he would sometimes see the things that he would put on his wish list arrayed on the other side in various various forms of but they were starting to materialize in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I just trip on this. It's just something I just can't shout it long enough, loud enough. So if he's been working on something a short time, it's a little puff of smoke. If he's been working on something a little longer, by touching that wish list or thinking about that over and over, it starts to get a little more 3D. Down the road, there are some things he's been on for some time. They get fully 3D. They're beyond a blush of color. They're fully colored, fully 3D, and they will come over into the physical world. And William used to call me and tell me what's on his next wish list, and they would happen. They would happen. And he would say, you know, I get over there and I occasionally see my stuff warming up. He said, I'd be crazy not to do this stuff because I can watch it take place in real time.
Now, that brings to mind two things. One, I used to, my wife and I used to raise chickens. We've been in Santa Barbara 10 years, and for the first 7 or 8, we had chickens. And I did not know how an egg was produced within a hen. I thought that every 18 hours, a new egg was processed and developed through whatever metabolistic concept, if you will. And that's how that happened. Turns out a friend of mine who used to butcher chickens, he says, and he didn't know this either until the first time he did this. He says, when I opened up a hen for the first time, I saw this little assembly line. From the tiniest little piece of calcium or what have you, whatever the egg shell is made of. And there were like five or six or seven or maybe eight of them in various sizes to the large size, the size that the hen would then eventually lay. That's the process. And it's kind of what you're talking about here is that even though there aren't multiple sizes of these things manifesting, it's the one thing that's sort of, as you say, materializing. It's that same kind of concept. But then there's
And humans, the same thing. And the females, the same thing.
Yeah. Now,
you know, there are a number of eggs already in place.
The other part of it, though, is you've got these things. If he's been thinking, as you say, he was thinking about some things and they're for a long time, and they're much more materialistic, or they're forming more so in the material world, as it were, within this experience he's having, this out-of-body experience, as opposed to short-term, you could probably see through them, or again, there's just a vapor there. Well, what is it that we're doing or not doing that causes those, I'll say thoughts, because I can't think, because they're not things yet.
Yeah, we'll call it thoughts.
To disappear or vaporize, even if we've been thinking about them for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Or what prevents them from not coming into physical manifestation? What are we doing or not doing?
Yeah, and I want to take the point right now that regardless of where we go, this is going to be a very simple conversation. This is very elegant stuff. If you take a pencil and hold it out in front of you and let it go, it'll fall to the ground because gravity pulls anything to the ground. It's the law. And thought is a law. And if you think of a thing, it will start to form. Now, if you're watching television and you see 100 commercials during the day, you're not going to form that stuff up because you're not going to stay with it. It's never going to really go anywhere. You don't have to be concerned about that. So I had a business plan. I had this remarkable idea, of course, it's remarkable, and it's going to be a web deal. It's going to be story-driven and blah, blah, blah. It's very complicated, and we got it all going, and I'm starting to manifest, and you can manifest your future. So I'm in my future, and this web thing is very, very successful, this web idea, very successful, and it does good things in the world. As a side effect, it financially is very successful. And so I had this in my future. It was a manifestation that I was working on, one of many, in what I call a movie. I have a movie in the future with different scenes. And one day, after having a meeting with my partner, we decided this thing is so complex, we can't protect it from hackers and things like that. It's going to be a nightmare, a bad moving target. We don't have the funds to throw at a staff just to protect this thing. So I let it go. And about, I was a few weeks later, 3 weeks to a month, Judy Goodman called me. We're having a conversation. She's the very gifted woman that I would send these things to and thought for almost 20 years. She said, you know, I was on the other side the other night, and she is every night, and she said, I was looking at the things you're working on, and that business plan was almost done. It's going back to smoke. Don't you care about that anymore? And I said, no, I'm going to let that thing go. We can't protect it. She said, you almost had it. It was almost there. I said, I know, but we just didn't want to do the resources and time on trying to protect it from hackers. So we're going to let it go. We'll go on to something else. She said, okay, you almost had it. I said, it's okay. We're going to let it go. No, isn't that something?
Hmm.
So if I stayed with it, it would build. But the moment I let it go, it started to atrophy.
Okay.
Know, it just dissipated.
And that I can understand completely. Absolutely. You let it go, it's going to vaporize, puff of smoke, blow away, and okay, we'll start over again. You know, we'll come up with a new idea and we'll move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But there are
now,
those...
I've also had things that I tweaked. I had a common thing that I'm always doing, and I put a tweak in it, at how people would come to me, that it wouldn't come through a certain way, it would come to me in another way, more directly. And within 4 or 5 days, I had someone contact me directly on that topic. And it started, and it's happened that way ever since. So now I have more than one way of things coming to me. And, you know, that was kind of like I did a very succinct thing. You know, I put a red sticky on that thing, and it happened. And that got my attention. So I tweak things all the time. If I get a better idea, I put it in that movie. In
now,
my future, it's a little better than the thing I did before.
Right. You're improving upon or embellishing upon, as you say, tweaking the original concept. And that's what we do all the time. I actually had to come to a place in my life. I remember when computers first came into vogue and sound editing software, got a piece of sound editing software, and I started playing with it thinking, man, this is going to make my life so much easier, so much faster to produce stuff, you know, and so forth. And when I started getting into it, I realized that actually now it's made it longer, not because it was cumbersome, but because I could be so much more precise in my production and my editing and so forth. However, now 35 years in the business and 25 years working with computers, or 20 to 25 years working with computers, I've gotten to that very proficient stage where now, yes, I can move through. Somebody comes in here and wants to produce a commercial. Instead of it actually taking a half an hour to produce, I can do it in 10 minutes. They record the script and then I do the editing and I put in the sounds and the music and tweaking it and so forth. Boom, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But if the computer crashes, I lose everything. Now, I actually have a piece of software that where that doesn't actually happen. It's creating what's called a temp file so that if it does crash, that wherever I left off, wherever I was when it crashed, I get to pick up at least from there. But there are those of us who are trying to manifest certain things. And I think the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that there is no time. We can't put a time stamp on this thing saying, I want to manifest this and I want to manifest it by January 1st, 2017. My understanding is it doesn't work that way. Or
it's
does
difficult.
It?
It's difficult. And I can't give you enough. You have a lot of experience in this.
And
on my website, manifesting123.com, I put out a newsletter every Friday. There's, you know, well over 100 of these things out there. And there's all sorts of things that happen with time. But in terms of trying to precisely make something happen, no, although it sure seems like the cavalry comes through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they get things to happen in a timely fashion because they ask for a perfect outcome, this sort of thing, that sort of thing. To put a time on something is a limit. You say January 1st of next year, well, it could happen in the next phone call. Or that thing that you really want, which is happiness and security and comfort and health and to be validated, you know, as a good person. That can happen with the next phone call, and it has nothing to do with that thing where you wanted this particular outcome, some kind of financial outcome by next year. Well, you don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
But your thoughts are going to struggle very hard to make that thing that you specified.
Yeah.
So the idea is to be, you can be specific, but in a general way. Here's a great idea about that. That would be to do what you're here to do. In my future, this is how I do a movie. In my future, I'm doing what I'm here to do. And it fills my cup.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me very, it's beyond being happy. And then I add this. I'm so very grateful. There are two great forces in nature. One is love and one is fear. And a thought, like gravity, doesn't judge if you're going to do something so-called good or so-called bad with a thought. It will just make things. Your thoughts will make anything. And everything that's ever been invented on this planet, let's go large, everything that any person ever invented was a puff of smoke first. And that includes the Manhattan skyline next time you look at it. That's billions of puffs of smoke and teamwork and all this, but it's thought first. If you take a piece of paper, that was a tree out in the woods somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
How many man hours did it take to bring you a piece of paper? So in my future, I am doing what I'm here to do, and I'm so very grateful. I just added love to that, and that is an accelerant. I used to send things to Judy by just concentrating really, really hard. And those stories are in the book. And, I'm not really good at this concentration stuff. My mind would wander. Pink elephants would come in and out of the room. But, I worked very hard on this. And with a lot of effort, I could send her something fairly quickly. But if I just took a few seconds, and she told me the very first time I tried to do this, I was such a dunderhead, I didn't get it the first time. She never mentioned it again for years later. If I just sent her something and said, I'm sending this thing to you in love, I'm sending you this as a gift, which is love, I didn't have to put so much effort into it. It would just happen a lot more efficiently, and it would go out a lot more powerfully. Now, it's the same thing with fear. You know, in the Manifesting 1, 2, 3, the number one is how to make things happen. You go to your future. You imagine you're in it. We can go into this more later. And you put gratitude behind every one of these little scenes in what I call the movie. The number two is thoughts are sometimes negative. A worry is a thought. A worry is turbocharged by fear. A thought is a thought is a thought. And you can amplify it by using either love or fear. So if you want to turn the volume up on something so-called bad, then just keep touching it. And keep charging up with worry, and you can make a negative. You can make your thoughts come true, good things or so-called bad things. And it'll do it very efficiently. So we can't afford to walk around and worry about stuff. So in the book, I was given this. It really popped out of the sky. It's amazing how you get ideas sometimes, and I haven't read this one. But when I'm in bed in the middle of the night and I'm really, really concerned about paying the bills, I can't afford to be awake at night worrying about money and what we're going to call lack of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about lack of money, lack of money, lack of money, and I put fear in it, and it will make that as efficiently as possible. So if I want to miss a bill cycle, that's the way to do it. So the thing to do, and same thing if you have a pain in your leg, say, you worry about that. Is that cancer? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know? So what I do, what I was instructed to do, is to take action on those worries. I use the word concerns now.
Mm-hmm.
I downgrade that. So what the heck does that mean? Take action on a worry. So if it's the money thing, I'm going to grab a piece of paper, pick up my smartphone in the middle of the night, and first thing I'm going to do is, number one, 9 o'clock, go in and ask a boss for a raise. Oh, boy, I hate that. But, you know, how can I be of value to the company? Let's have that conversation. Number two, maybe at lunch I'll call some people that owe me money, perhaps. Oh, I hate that, too. If I had it, they'd probably pay it. But, you know, I'll make the effort. I'm going to take action on this lack of money. Another one, I would call a business mentor. Make an appointment. Get somebody to help me with this ball of string that I'm having to deal with here. So So I'm going to take action on all these financial problems. If it's that pain in my leg, I'll make an appointment to call the doctor at 9 o'clock. Guys don't do that very well, but I'm going to do this because if I keep worrying about this, I can make some nothing thing into something real. Can't afford to have that health problem. So I'll just check in with the doctor. So I'm going to take action on those concerns, those worries. Now, at the end of the day, I've done everything I can do with the doc. I've done everything I can do with the financials. I'm probably the only guy in my block that goes to the future to manifest that happy ending. And you know what? That's all I can do today. I'll let it go as best I can. I can't stop thinking about it, but I've done everything I can do. So I'll switch on the television. I'll go back to the studio, make some art. I'll go see a movie. You know, I'll just knock it off as best I know how. But I'm taking action on this stuff. I'm using my thoughts to build things. And that's a positive way to take something that's really bothering you and do something and feel better about it.
So it's very important in that respect to take that action. Now, there's a part of this that has always intrigued me. And this came out following The Secret in an interview that I was doing. It wasn't with anybody connected with The Secret directly. And they said that they had left a part out. Now, they may not have done it consciously, but they said that the part that they left out, and of course I'm paraphrasing here, is that just because you, and they're speaking to the individual and primarily their personality, their ego, just because you want this thing and you say you desire it, doesn't necessarily mean it's for your highest good. It may not be beneficial for you to have this thing, even though you may want it. You know, I want an anvil tied around my ankle that I can drag around the rest of my life. Well,
love anvils.
I know the coyote doesn't care for them, but be that as it may. Cartoon reference, look up Warner Brothers, folks. But there might come a point, and I'd like you to elaborate on this, where the universe will say after a certain period of time of your badgering them for an anvil attached to your ankle, you know, we're really getting tired of you coming to us and asking and asking and asking. And it's not for your highest good. This is not part of your life's purpose. But you know what? We're getting tired of this. So here's your anvil. It's attached to your ankle. Go have fun. And then you deal with the consequences or the results.
Well, let's go deeper into your original question, because this is still there, and we don't want to leave anybody hanging on that perfectly good question you asked at the top of the show. Let's imagine a pie chart. Now, I'm just going to fabricate some numbers. I'm going to make some assumptions here, but there's a pie chart. And one of my big assumptions is you have a destiny. And that is going to be, well, let's just make up a number. It's 1/3 of your pie chart. That's sort of a little observation I made, not that this is science. And now 2/3 of that is not specified. And that's where you get to operate. You have a lot of open field. You have the ability, your birthright, to use your thoughts to make things. Now, you are going to meet that person who's going to come in at high school for a moment and change your life 180 degrees. You are going to have that relationship or a few. You are going to have a proclivity for nuclear science or for a family. Those things are just embedded. They're there, and they're not escapable. People come in and out of your life, and these things will happen, and you'll come in and out of other people's lives. It may be your fate that you are not born in the United States, and you are currently in Syria, and you're next to starving. You know, that's just part of that, your walk. But there is a lot of free space, and Syria presents a difficult problem if you're trying to manifest something. But nonetheless, you can create things. So with that open field, there's a lot we can do. And people like to say the universe. And I can't tell you with any certainty about this, but my feeling is, and I won't say it's my impression, my feeling is this. The universe is got you for about one-third of that pie chart, and the other two-thirds of it is you. And when you're manifesting stuff, it's you doing things for you. And yes, you have a higher self, and yes, there's angels, and there's God Almighty, and there's all sorts of layers of this and that, and departments and sub-associations, and who knows what is going on out there. But when you start to think of something, it starts to form up. And the angels don't come over there with big erasers and rub that out.
Okay.
And I said it in the book, and it's a little harsh, and that's the word I use. You know, Hitler got up in 1939 and decided he was going to invade Poland.
Right.
And he did, and 100,000 angels didn't stop him at the border. It was allowed. It's the Wild Wild West down here. So there's a lot that we can do, and there's some things that are going to happen anyway.
Right.
But most of the things in our lives are of our own creation.
That's what they say. You are where you are because of the choices that you've made in the past.
Yeah, and there's some of this you can't change.
Right.
You may be born very muscular. You may be born with a defect. You may be born with a beautiful brain, and in other cases, we're just born average, and that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a lot more fun being average than just being too damn smart, I think. at any rate. So there are limits, and then the dichotomy is, with your thoughts, there are no limits.
Yeah.
What I'm putting out here is a guy who has stumbled onto, I don't know why I'm the messenger boy for this, who has stumbled onto a key to the kingdom. And I just can't shut up about it because it's terribly, terribly foundational and very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will hear this and their life changes on contact. Now, I played post office with Judy and did this little game thing. And I knew that thoughts would make things from William Buhlman. He talked about this smoke thing. But I was such a goof, I never put it together. I wasn't a student. I was just goofing with this stuff. And then somebody said, you need to watch this movie, The Secret. And I watched it, and I was just dumbfounded. I just sat back in the chair. I watched it again. I had some more people come over. I probably watched it 12, 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I watched it, I turned it off and went, oh, my God. I know what these people are talking about, but they don't know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
We're petitioning the light switch. We're saying prayers and making an altar around the water faucet because we don't know where the water or the electricity comes from. And we're doing all these best practices, some simple, some a little too complicated, in order to increase the probability that when we hit the light switch, the lights will come on. But when you think it starts to happen.
Yeah.
And that is, boy, that's a game changer.
Yeah. When we come back
and
from
our petitioning.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about the power of words. And also the power of our external environment and its role in manifesting. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with the author of Manifesting 1-2-3, How You And You Don't Need Number 3. Ken Elliott is my guest. His website is manifesting123.com. That's manifesting123.com. And basically, it's how thought works and the simple tools to create the desires of your life. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are here providing you with choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, to make a better world for yourself and the people around you. And speaking of the people around you, like Ken Elliott, who is with us here on the program today, author of Manifesting 1-2-3, and You Don't Need Number 3. We'll find out what number 3 is in just a moment. It's a new updated version with expanded to forward additional information and stories. That's the version I have, folks, so you need to get a copy as well and find out all about this concept of manifesting. And speaking of people around us, as I was alluding to at the end of our last segment, Ken, I have a journal that I used to keep, and I used to keep it on my computer, and I would add to it every so often. And one of the concepts that I put in there was that there is an individual that you, the individual, associate with 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Now, this individual, you don't listen to a lot because you don't trust this individual. Mm-hmm. Then there are individuals, plural, that you associate with, and I just threw out this number, this statistic, I don't know how true it is, maybe 10 minutes on the average, maybe once a week. And you listen to them intently and you take in that information, and sometimes you'll even govern your life by it. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference between these two is that the individuals are the people you associate with, whether they be family and friends, husband, wife, children, parents, fellow students, coworkers, churchgoers, people you meet on the street or even just pass by, people in cars driving by, and so on and so forth, as opposed to the individual, you, who you are with, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the theory I came up with was that the person or the influence that you really want is you, and that you need to start listening to you. And there's never any separation. And of course, I'm speaking more of that still small voice, seeking that higher guidance. How does that manifest or play into this aspect of manifesting and turning those puffs of vapor into physical reality?
Well, I'd like that. So when I did the second edition of the book, I just woke up with this idea. And it's simply this. Imagine that you're a genie, and every time you think of something, it starts to form up right in front of you. This is not a fantasy. This is what happens. If we were gifted enough, we could see it. You think of a train, the train starts to form up. William Buhlman wanted to go to China. He started working on China. He started to see the outline of Chinese architecture form up, and he went to the other side. I'm just standing on my head to say this. When you think it, it starts to happen. Mm-hmm. And as a side effect, with these people that you're around, if you put yourself in your happy future, and I want to underline this, when you go in your future, it has already happened. There's no detail on how you got there. It's already happened. And what you'll see happen is people who that you're not a good match for, doesn't mean they're good or bad, there's not a good match for, they go off your Christmas card list, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And people that serve you better come into your life. And as a result, you get a little more polished up. Some people wake up happy. Some people wake up and they know they'll never be lonely again. Some people wake up and they don't have stress. They didn't even ask for it, but it was a side effect of going into their future every day and walking around in these happy outcomes. So it bends that. It changes that. And if you're in a negative space at work with a relationship, this thing and that thing, and you go into your future, and there's stories about that in the book, you go into your future, and in your future, you have a wonderful relationship. You don't have that sort of negativity, and you express your gratitude when you're in that space, these things will start to fall away. Now, sometimes in the relationship, it's not that partner. It might be you, and you'll wake up, and you'll go, oh, my gosh, in an epiphany. But a change will be made, and sometimes relationships get stronger. Sometimes they fall apart. I mean, that happens irregardless anyway. But it's amazing that you can see what I'll call fingerprints on it. You think, you know, that's a result of something you have been thinking about for a very short time and putting it into your future. So you can change things conceptually, happiness, careers, confidence, stress. And you can do things like create, you know, objects, you know, that perfect house, that that perfect career. There's no limits to this. And it's all expressed over there, but your thought will start to make a form. And by the way, if you're thinking of, say, as William did with the Chinese vacation, actually, he wanted to go to China for an extended length of time. And he made his list, and at the top of his list, he said, I want to go to China. And I said, really, you want to do a vacation? No, I want to live there a couple of years. And I said, what? I said, it's crazy. His wife works for General Motors. How's that going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And within 6 weeks, his wife said, how would you like to go to China? He said, I'm listening. She said, they want to transfer me over there to run an operation over there. We'll be there for a couple of years. They ended up there for 4 years. He kissed the ground when he got back. He was China'd out after 4 years.
He had his fill.
But it was the first thing on his list.
Yeah.
And he could watch it form up there. He could see Chinese architecture. So he stayed with it. He could watch it happen.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I have that same desire, not for China. I have been to Ireland twice. I had
hear it in your voice.
Yeah, 2 week vacations.
Uh-huh.
I want to live there. I want to be buried in the beautiful Emerald Isle, if they will allow me to do that. Uh-huh. And I, you know, and if I could, if I was in a position and I was, I don't know if the word is expert at it or proficient at this manifesting, I would make it happen right now. We'd still be conducting this interview, but all of a sudden my location would change, and this would be an international call. That is how much I want to be there.
Yes, yes.
And when my wife and I will say, lost our jobs in 2006, that opened the door for us to move to Santa Barbara, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even thought far enough ahead when I knew that my job was being phased out and the station was sold and the new owners were not going to keep the old staff on. I didn't even think about, I wasn't even formulating my, okay, so what am I going to do? I got to go get another, I better start looking for another job. So I better start pumping up my resume and you know, going through those machinations. Didn't even cross my mind. And on the 1st of March, when my wife quit her job, she just told him, no, this obviously this isn't for me. You know, I won't go into the details. That evening, we're sitting around, and of course, she's a little fearful. And I had no fear at that time. And she asked me, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, everything that I know says that when you come to the edge of a precipice or a cliff, there are two things you do. You jump and you trust. And that's what we did. And of course, we went through the machinations and boom, here we are 10 years later. And so I'm sitting here going, okay, now I've always been in the right place at the right time in my life, whether it's my career or otherwise, right? And so I'm sitting here going, I know where I want to be, Ireland. Okay, I've put that out there. I'm leaving it out there. In other words, I have finished mailing the envelope, okay? Now I just have to wait for the universe to open the doors because there really isn't a lot for me to do at this end other than continue to mention this to people such as yourself saying, hey, this is what I'd like to do because I'm not really sure. Well, actually, I do know that, yes, I've got to get my passport, but that's a simple process and it's not something that needs to be done immediately. I'm familiar with the immigration rules. And in other words, I've begun that process of realizing, okay, this is what it's going to take. But then there's another part of this equation, Ken, that I learned many years ago. Do not try to control the process. Become a part of the process. Get into the flow. And right now, my inside says, relax. It's going to happen. You know, in spite of what I'm getting from the exterior world saying, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I'm just sitting here calmly going, yeah, that's where I want to be. And I know I'll get there. I just don't know when.
Right. Well, let me I'll tie in the number three and follow up on that. The number three is that you're really, really big, enormously big. We always talk about big spiritual beings, your higher self, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have seen that higher self. It won't fit through a 7-foot door. Big, big, big. And if who you truly are walked into a restaurant, we would all hit the ground without thinking, because we've never seen anything big like that, and we would just know you're God. We'd be on the floor. Don't look at me. Don't look at me, God. No, look at that other guy. Don't. Nope, nope, nope. You know, we freak. That's how big we are. But here we are, you know, life on earth. So that's the number three. You don't need to puff yourself up and be perfect and wear all white and drink distilled water for 40 days and 40 nights to manifest. You can do it on the fly. You can do it in the car. Mm-hmm. You can do it in between times, or you can sit on the couch and do a deep meditation. It's not necessary. Your thoughts will start to build it. And all you do is touch it every day. You don't have to do it multiple times. And by the way, coming around to your question, once you start to manifest things, you become a target for things to come to you. That's the law of attraction. The initial thought is the thing. The law of attraction is a side effect of the initial thought. So when you start talking about Ireland, and you go into your future, and you are in your home, at the end of the day, looking out the window, and it's Ireland everywhere. The air is Ireland, and the birds are Ireland, and the view is Ireland, and the coffee is Ireland, and the pub up the street is Ireland. You're in Ireland in your future, and you're so very grateful. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to know how you got there.
Right.
By the way, if you read the Animal Times this morning, as I did, there's a big chicken factory opening up there, and they're looking for qualified people. Maybe that's your thing. You know?
Hey, I can still do this radio show and take care of chickens. Yes, I can.
So in your future, you're in Ireland, and you walk around in it. Now, you can do this from your couch. That's how I do my perfect health. I make an observation at the end of the day in my future, and I can touch the couch and breathe the air. I have perfect health. I'm so grateful. Simply an observation. But in Ireland, you can walk around and touch things, do this and that. It's just Ireland. Mm. But you're in your future, and you don't have to, and please don't specify how you got there, because thought being literal, they'll have to make all those stops on the way.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in Ireland, and everything is good. You're comfortable. You're safe. It's just as perfect as it can be,
yeah.
And you're so very grateful.
Oh, yeah.
And then just watch to see what happens. You may encounter some bleed-overs. As you get closer to this, now we're sort of tuned to that anyway. If people, David Bowie just died, so suddenly it's David Bowie everywhere. But
yeah.
If I mentioned David Bowie to you last year, you'll start seeing David Bowie here and there. Our minds will do that. But you'll probably start picking up more Ireland things. You might even get an opportunity. It might be lame. But it's an opportunity, and things will start coming to you. It may not be a stream, but you'll start seeing this Ireland. There's an awful lot of Ireland stuff lately.
Yeah.
Get ready. Get ready, because things are getting closer.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff starts to trickle in. There's no reason why you can't go to Ireland happily.
Mm-hmm.
And your wife would like it too.
Yes.
So she's a big factor here.
Huge
factor.
Now, that's another thing about this concept of manifesting. Granted, you as an individual, I as an individual, we must generate the thought first. But what role mm-hmm. can another individual play? I mean, you have Judy on your end. What role
yes.
can another person play in assisting, not interfering with, because there's enough of that, assisting
yes.
in bringing about that wisp of smoke into the reality of what it is that we want to manifest?
Well, this is what I call an unfair advantage. when a couple, they get together on the same script, they have the same, you know, maybe not the whole movie, but they have this one scene and it's the same,
mm-hmm.
that's just double the intention. That truly is an unfair advantage.
So let me ask you, I'm gonna offer this to see if this is a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down, the two of us, and okay. we both know what we want. We know what we want to manifest, and that is obviously living in Ireland.
No, so, I'm gonna pause you right there.
Please.
Because at the top of the second segment, you said words, power of words.
Power of words, right.
If you say want, that's a command to be wanting.
So
nothing has to happen. You're wanting. Okay, next in line, we took care of that guy. That was easy.
Yes.
What do you want? Oh, we have to do something with that. The guy wants a job. Okay. But the wanting guy, forget him.
Okay.
If you need, you're needy. Well, you're needy. Next, right? That kind of thing.
So the focus
would
be
desire.
Living. In other words, if I, so rather than saying we want to, okay, so we want to sit, we sit down and say we manifest living in Ireland.
Yes.
Okay. No want.
We desire this.
We desire this.
This is our goal.
Okay.
This is our goal.
We each independently then go into our future and see what that's like. Now, the images that she might see, if it were possible to tap into our individual imaginations and put it up on a screen and do a split screen, the actual images may not match, but they would still be where we desire to be.
Well, what's the bottom line? It's Ireland.
Right.
Okay, so you can both do Ireland, and you're in your perfect house.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the couch, your perfect house.
Right.
You can touch that couch. You can breathe the air, but you don't see the house.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see. But you can hear and touch.
Mm-hmm.
You're comfortable. When I did my perfect house, I didn't specify, other than it had not low ceilings and there was abundant light. Well, I got that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't specify anything else. And, you know, perfect looks pretty darn perfect to me. We know perfect when we see it.
Yeah.
If you want to specify something, then have a picture of this park or place you've been, or there's a little movie that you can see together and you imagine that place, but it's not necessary.
Right.
It's Ireland and you're safe and happy and da 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 da. And you don't need a picture for that.
Now, let's go back to what I did say at the end of the last segment about the power of words, and you have already started us down that path because I used the word want.
Yes.
Get rid of the word want, because that that implies a whole nother thing as opposed to desire or speaking of it in the present tense. If I was to say, I am in Ireland in my mind, in my future, I am there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be there.
Yes.
I am there. There's a bit.
I'm not working on it. You're there.
I'm there.
And yes,
and this is very interesting, because you talked about sitting there and talking about your perfect health. And I remember at the Christian radio station, when people would call in and ask for prayer for healing of their disease, you would hear that phrase, claim your healing.
Yes.
You are healed, all right? But my intellect, my logic said, wait a minute, in order for you to claim your healing, don't you have to acknowledge that you're not healed right now? And again, that's where I was then. But now I understand
what you get for being smart. You're so smart. You just messed up my life, because I'm the average guy, and now I have this smart thing I have to deal with.
Exactly. But so now I can better understand, A, where they were coming from, and B, where I do come from now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is being very precise with the words that do not imply, I mean, again, some of these small words, they can imply such a lack in one's life because of the words that someone has chosen, like even the word, the simple little word want.
Yeah. Let's be clear. You're a genie.
Yeah.
Just own it. You're a genie. We don't have enough hours in the day. Well, I could talk about this all day about all these stories.
Sure.
You're a genie. You think it starts to build. Why would you be a stupid genie and say, I lack? I'm going to make want. I'm going to make lack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff. The world can be falling around, just cascading and tumbling all around you. But you know what? You can make change. You can make change. And you can start on it now. And sometimes this stuff happens lightning quick. Everything on my list, everything in my movie is taking place except a couple of things. And those have been in churn, one 4 years, one a couple of years, or more, right? 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things happen inside a week, a couple of days, a number of them are months, 6 weeks, you know, that kind of thing. I don't put those times on it, but I can see, I can observe that things are rolling, things are moving. And so I roll with that. So if you're a genie, do what genies do.
Yeah. Boom. It's here. It's now.
Yeah. And if you can't see it, it's building anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about healing and this and that, and I'm very, very I just shrivel up a little bit when I start talking about healing, because I don't want to give people huge expectations. But I've had two things. Listen to me. A couple of people have done this, and within a very short period of time, their glaucoma, which is not curable, stopped. Now, whatever sight you lose, you lose.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But glaucoma is not curable, and it didn't go forward, and there's no evidence of it in two different people. And, you know, I had to take a seat when they called me and told me that, because there's that healing the sick stuff and, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm just Ken. I'm just the guy that got this stuff. You know, it's very important, so I'll talk about it. But I'm not a doctor, and I'm not raising the expectations in that way. But, you know, the doctor said, wow, this is really unusual. And they got a result because they went in their movie, and in their movie they had perfect sight. And I asked them both, well, are you okay with this outcome? Is this perfect sight for you? He and she said, more than good enough for me. It's perfect. Yeah, I'll take this. Yeah. I'll declare this perfect. I'm very happy with this.
Mm. Well, I can relate.
They didn't go too far down the road.
Right. Well, I can relate because I have lost the sight in my left eye due to glaucoma.
Mm.
And yeah. And I will tell you that, and then this is going to sound very strange, that's perfect. That's fine. And the reason it is because I never had very good sight in my left eye as a child. I had 20/400, meaning, for some those of you who don't know, I could see at 20 feet what most people could see at 400. But my right eye was the stronger of the two. And now I had a lens implant in 1996 that gave me the opportunity to drive. For the first time in my life, I was able to say, and it blew me away that I was actually able to say it, that I actually drove in the middle of the night through Los Angeles, California on the freeway. Now, what legally blind person could say that? And so,
yeah.
And here's one of the things, and now maybe you can, before we have to wrap up our program here, you can analyze this real quickly. For the longest time, I was fighting with the DMV in Arizona to get a license, even to just drive a moped. But because it was a motorized vehicle, no, you got to have a regular license. And for whatever reason, I couldn't go through the medical review program. It just wasn't to be. And at one point, I finally said, okay, fine. I give up. I surrender. It's okay if I bicycle for the rest of my life, if I'm 65 and I'm cycling across the desert here. I'm fine with that. It's not a sign of anything other than I'm able to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And within a year, my vision began to diminish in my right eye, my stronger eye, because of cataracts. So I go to my ophthalmologist. He says, well, we can do one of two things. We can wait for them to dissipate, which I knew he was being facetious, or we can put in a lens implant. And you have a 50-50 chance that you could lose your sight. I says, well, then let's go do it now, because if I'm going to lose my sight, I was 38, then I want to get started adjusting right away. Well,
yes.
It was very successful. I went from 2200 to 2080 overnight, and then with some subsequent treatments down to 2050 with corrective lenses. I'm driving medical review program, which is fine. Extraordinary. But for me, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the releasing of that desire to get that driver's license to do that which I wanted to do and saying, you know what? I'm perfect the way that I am. And by the way, that word perfect in the Bible, I remember researching that because I kept hearing, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And of course, they were always saying about being correct, being right versus wrong. Okay. Well, what I found out was the word perfect had nothing to do with right and wrong. It had to do with being complete, and I am complete right now, right where I am at. And so when I let that go, the universe said, okay, then we're going to open up the doors. Now, it's not going to happen the way you think. Hey, I started losing my sight in my right eye. That was not how I thought it was going to happen. And yet, there it is.
Right.
There it is.
So because you, let me try to put this succinctly. The outcome was to drive. The outcome was to feel good about yourself, to feel healthy, to feel complete. That was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And as you went through life, you didn't specify specific, well, there's the one about driving, but you had, I think you had actually given up on that. I mean, that was a goal. That'd be nice. But you didn't obsess that you had to have perfect vision, 20/20 specified vision.
Exactly.
You didn't specify that you had to have, perfect vision, that 20/20 to be able to drive. You didn't limit the outcome.
Correct.
And what happened with people with glaucoma and you, because you were just in a good place,
mm-hmm.
doing your best, as a normal person would, and we all have our limits and our advantages, you just went forward. And as a side of that, you got the driver's license.
Yeah.
Good things happen as a side effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember a great businessman one time said, if you do something really, really well, making money is a side effect.
Yeah.
If you live a good life, this is a pithy statement, but if you live a good life and do your best, you're going to get a lot of good side effects. On your last breath, you might say, it was good.
Yeah.
You can say, you're out there driving, that's just as perfect as it could be.
Yeah. I want to thank you.
That's a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. This has been fantastic. I've learned a great deal. I hope our listeners have. And you can learn even more by going to his website, manifesting123.com. That's the name of the website. The name of the book is Manifesting123, and you don't need number 3. And we encourage you to check out that information. And before we let you go, two things. Number one is, if you ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. And number two, I have 3 questions for you before we wrap up. The first of those questions is, who is Ken Elliott?
I'm just a pumpkin head guy that was born in Texas, and suddenly I came into what it was I was supposed to do and met Judy Goodman. I had a personal issue. I called this psychic lady. She hates that term. Somebody said that's the most gifted person in the country, and then the dam broke open, and it exposed what I'm here to do, and I've never been happier.
Mm. And what is it that you hope to or want? There's that word again. To achieve with the work that you are doing now. I'll change the word want to desire.
Yeah, a long time ago, I felt compelled to just go outside and stand under the stars, and I said, "Bring me the truth." I'm going to choke up now saying this because it hits me deep. I still remember that scene. Bring me the truth. Just bring me the truth, and I'll wrap it around the world millions and millions of times. Mm. And within 6 weeks, and Judy told me ahead of time this was going to happen. I had no idea. She said, "You're going to start putting people on the radio." I said, "I don't know anything about radio." And I put a lot of very important people on the radio, primarily on Coast to Coast. And at the time, they had a 15 million person rated audience worldwide. So I took these people that had these bits of truth and wrapped it around the world many, many times. And I was just the unknown guy in the back of the room making phone calls in my jammies to get these guys on the air. So that was interesting. That was a calling that I didn't know was in me until I called out for it.
And finally, who inspires you?
The first thing that comes out was, wow, you're just choking me up here. I've never thought of this before, but the first thing that came to my head, I'm inspired by everyone who struggles.
Hmm.
And here is your get out of jail card. Here is your key to the kingdom. It's not mine. It's not my juice. Not my idea, but it's real. It's real. And you can find out for yourself. Doesn't matter if you're a skeptic or not. It gravity doesn't care if you believe it or know it. It just does it anyway. And I'll leave you with one thing. If you do nothing else, ask, pray, wish, vision boards, anything. Do my techniques. They're very finely tuned and terribly easy. If you do nothing else, every day, as Judy advised, say 7 grateful things, and it will clear the field around you. I have a lot of people who can see what's around people energetically. It will clear the cobwebs. It takes out the used furniture, knocks down the barbed wire, clears the old sludge ponds, and you become the field around you is clear for good things to come to you. And it also is somewhat repellent of the things that you would not desire in your life. 7 grateful things, and you can also be grateful for that great vacation in the past or that great relationship. It's things in the future, things in the past. 7 grateful things every day.
Ken Elliott, thank you so much for your time and your story and manifesting 1, 2, 3, and you don't need number 3. This has been wonderful, and I encourage people to go to your website, manifesting123.com, and again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a big honor. Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, the desires of your heart. Until next time, love to all.